This is CliffCentral.com. 360 Biz on CliffCentral.com.
It is 360Biz.com. Welcome to another exciting installment of 360 Biz. My name is Tebogo Mafodi. It is a beautiful Wednesday evening. You know that whenever you hear us on air, we bring you all things business. We bring you regulators. We bring you subject matter expert. We bring you game changers. I'm very particularly excited about the guests that we're having today and the conversation that we having today. I'm alone currently in studio. My boy, Bulelani Bala, maybe still on the way. You know, I always say business people don't become late, they become delayed. It is the nature of the business at the end of the day. I'm very excited that the discussion today is redefining opportunities, because you know that considering South Africa's economic condition, it is not surprising that some entrepreneurs start businesses due to lack of employment. And according to the 2018 Catalyst for Growth annual report, 22% of the entrepreneurs discontinued their enterprises because they had found formal employment since they start of black economic empowerment and the advent of BBBE codes of good practice. Billions are spent on SME developments through enterprise and supply development. However, the C4G annual report highlights that the cost of program does not necessarily translate into high quality performance outcomes. I'm excited that the discussion today that we're going to be having is really around that, because these are some of the discussions that are really close to my heart. And on the other end, I mean, the Small Enterprise Development Agency noted that 72% of micro enterprises and 40% of small enterprises are currently owned by women. This indicates that female entrepreneurs are growing in numbers, but without access to any appropriate funding, many startups will find it difficult to grow their business. So it's actually good that today in this discussion, we actually have a representative that speaks for the voice of women in business. So our guest today will be highlighting some of the challenges faced by SMEs, the available opportunities, and how SMEs can access some of these opportunities. Our guests today are Mr. Sifiso Ndwandwe. She is no by all means related to the legendary Ezra Ndwandwe. That's the question that I first asked him when he walked into studio. He is the executive director, however, of the Catalyst for Growth, which they call it the C4G. And I've got a good friend of mine, Sandim Butuma, who's the chairperson of the Women's Property Network and the MD of Azaro Surveyors. I've got another dear friend of mine who'll be joining us later on the show, Mr. Xolani Qubeka, who's not new on the show, who's the chief executive of Small Business Development Institute, that you know that they also annually host the National SME Policy Colloquium with the intention of wanting to influence SMEs and the policy for the influence of small business. I am having an interesting range of guests today that with the discussion that they actually get to actually learn from each other and definitely share some of the insight. But without wasting any time, let me take or go straight to my guest and actually welcome them to studio. I'm going to start by welcoming Ntate Sifiso Ndwandwe. Ntate Sifiso, say hi to our listeners. Tell us who you are and what is it that you do.
Hi, everyone. My name is Sifiso Ndwandwe. I am the executive director of Catalyst for Growth, which is an organization working in the ecosystem that supports small businesses. We focus primarily in the monitoring and evaluation arena.
Oh, okay. Yes. No, thanks. And my girl, Memputuma, how are you?
Very well, thanks. Thank you, my friend. It's such an honor. Thank you for allowing us to have this discussion. Long overdue.
It is very long overdue.
So my name is Sandim Butuma, and mm-hmm. I am the national chairperson of Women's Property Network, and which is an organization that represents women in the property sector, from entrepreneurs, businesses, as you've alluded, and also professionals. Apart from that, I run a quantity surveying bouquet of a firm based in Bryanston.
Hmm. Okay. I hope it's not Okay, no, it's fine. Let me not ask that question. No, it's fine. Let me come back to Ndatendwan. Ndatendwan, you told us briefly about what you do and in your capacity and just a brief overview of C4G. But can you give us a bit of an overview as in regards to C4G and what your role is in the enterprise development, business development, or SME space specifically? Because I know that with a couple of people that I spoke to before you came to say, I'm going to be having you from C4G, that didn't know what C4G is. And as well, if ever I hadn't been fortunate enough to have been attending the Gibbs event last week with JP Morgan, I wouldn't have been exposed to this organization called C4G. So it's something that really I'd want to hear more. And the same goes for our listeners.
Yes, thank you. Thank you, Tobaho. Indeed, it is a great opportunity and a great pleasure for us to be able to share the work that C4G is doing in the ecosystem.
Mm-hmm.
C4G is a relatively new organization.
Okay.
It's a non-profit company that was established in 2015, so it's a relatively new organization. And it was set up specifically to try to improve the impact of the various types of interventions or programs
mm-hmm.
that are delivered in the ecosystem to support SMMEs like Osis Sandy here. The observation that was made at the inception of C4G was that South Africa has such a dynamic ecosystem that supports small businesses because of the enabling legislation that's been created. There is literally billions of rands that is made available to support small businesses. Corporates across the economy are now compelled by law to actually spend money on developing entrepreneurs
mm-hmm.
and giving them markets as part of their supply chain.
Okay.
And on paper, this sounds fantastic.
It sounds like we will
solve this problem of unemployment and inequality in this country in no time because of the visionary, legislation that was set up by government.
Mm-hmm.
But what we observed was that much as we have this very dynamic and resourceful ecosystem, we are not able to account for the impact that these resources are having in the ecosystem. We still have issues where everyone stands up and says we have high unemployment. SMMEs are still started and collapse within the first 3 years, and they have no markets, they have no skills, they are still not part of the supply chain, they're still not part of the economy, there is a huge cry around the effect of this, the lack of effect of the ecosystem resources that are available. So when C4G was started, therefore, it was meant to try to work with all the partners in the ecosystem to try to work with them and try to journey with them to find out what really are the issues. Why are we not realizing the impact that we should be? And we do this by monitoring evaluation. So we collect data across all the organizations that work with SMMEs, and we say, here is Sandy who is getting to this program that is funded by Anglo American, whichever corporate it is. And at the starting point, she starts with asset base of 30,000. She has a turnover of 20,000 a month, for example. Let's monitor her progress over time and actually to see if the interventions and support that she's getting from the ecosystem actually are resulting in what we desire her to do, which is grow her turnover, grow her profitability, and grow the employment of the people that she provides employment for in her practice. So basically what we do then is collect data and work with partners to collect data and then help them to see the progress that they're achieving in terms of the growth of the enterprises that they're supporting over time. So basically that's our, we have an electronic and sort of a cloud-based system that people can use to access and store data and collect data, produce various types of reports, and be able to see how the various portfolios of SMEs that are working with actually perform over time. So at the simplest level, that is basically what we do. But basically, we are trying to thrive.
It's not that simple.
Yes.
Yeah. Or basically, you're thriving to?
We're thriving to get all the players, the buyers of BDS, which are corporates,
mm-hmm.
the organizations that are actually providing interventions on behalf of corporates, BDS providers,
mm-hmm.
and everyone else that's working, including the policymakers, which is government, to start using data as an evidence basis for making decisions. In other words, to collect data, analyze this data, and use this data to now inform decisions. This talks, for example, to the report that we've just published, which you referred to at the beginning of the conversation, because we use this data now to now say, what does this data tell us about, for example, entrepreneurial women like Sandy between the ages of 20 and 35? What sectors are they successful in?
She's got good genes, I know.
She looks 21.
I know. She's got good genes. I'm sure you've got Ben 10s hitting up on you, ne?
So I think in essence, what we're trying to do is basically use data, analyze the data, and then share the learnings that come out of this data and begin to have conversation with all the actors in the ecosystem to learn what this data means so that they can make decisions that are informed. For example, if a corporate wants to invest and work with SMMEs in the construction or in a sector, what basis do they make to say we want to invest in this sector in the absence of data? If they want to work with women, because I'm sure a lot of programs have this bias towards women, but do they know which sectors women are most successful in? Do they even know which sectors are women absent in? You know, because without data, you actually don't know what really works or what doesn't work. So we're trying to use data, but also more importantly, we're trying to now analyze the various types of interventions that are provided to various groups of SMMEs and then begin to understand which type of BDS works best for who, under what condition.
And
that is the knowledge that base that we're trying to build to enrich, I think, the performance of the sector. Because ultimately, if we do all these things, we can then have better impact. We can then create the jobs that we want to create.
You know, I want to bring you back on the show. You know, even if it means me and you, we sit an entire hour and we're
happy to do that.
We take each other on. Because you know what?
I don't know where you've been hiding.
Yeah, no, definitely. I'll make it a point that I have you on my TV show well.
Yes.
We have this discussion because I've got a serious concern about something that you've said.
Yes.
You've said you work with businesses that work with enterprises like Usendi, and you work on the data as to how they're helping Usendi grow and this and this and this and that. Do you understand? Because right now, I think it's issues that, Sandy, you can chip in on this one if you want. So it's issues that we know that some of these companies or some of these corporates fabricate results. Do you understand? So and for me, it's something that I've got a serious problem with. And right now, remember, BE and transformation is still a voluntary process. So and right now you find people that make money. For me, I always said, sometimes I remember I was attacked when I said it's a money laundering initiative, because people, agencies and the so-called incubators and this and that are meant to be in developing entrepreneurs, they're actually raking in serious millions in this and in terms of value. Because for me, the reason that one even confessed, when we took him on, that I had gone to this organization. When I got there, they knew who I am. Do you understand? I was like, okay, they knew who I am, maybe by virtue of I'm on television, I've done well business-wise and this and that. But no, to find out, no. There's an enterprise that presented me as their success story. To say, you see through your money. Do you understand? Look at Deboho. This is where he said, this is where he is right now. And this and that. Do you understand? And right now, the problem with me is that with even our commissioner, I've had this discussion a lot with the commissioner. And to say, right now, the B commission, Aina Mazinho. Do you understand? It doesn't have teeth. It doesn't bite. It's not like it's the competition commissioner, where on the other hand, it has teeth to actually bite. Do you understand? But I think this really is a discussion that I really want us to have. Because for me, maybe the question that I would need to ask you before I move on to Usendi is that after you've picked up this data to say this is how they're assisting Usendi, or this is how they're failing to assist Usendi, what do you do besides reporting it or producing a report?
Well, we're creating an awareness, and this is a wonderful opportunity and platform to do that. And we use all platforms available to us to create an awareness. I think primarily to sensitize decision makers and policy makers, but particularly to give voice to people like Cindy, to entrepreneurs, that we should, they should start actually not being victims to this. They should start being be more involved in deciding which program they can be part of and on what basis. How do they make a decision that this program, I'm going to be part of this program, and these are the benefits I'm going to benefit. But more importantly, I think for us, we are in a constructive mode where we're saying, how can we create transparency? Because transparency is what we require. If you have got transparency about the results of various programs, then you can see not just the bad BDS providers in the market,
you see the good
but you can see the good ones too.
True.
And then what is important is that we forget that even bad programs, you can learn something out of them if they're out in the open. Here is a program that we invested so much money. This is what was done. What can we learn there that should not be repeated by another sponsor that's going to come down the line?
Yeah.
But also the successful programs, how can we, here she is successful. There's a journey, there's a story that she can tell. And in her journey, she will tell you these are the pillars and this is the support and these are the programs that I went through, and you begin to say, oh, these type of programs are good. So other entrepreneurs coming behind her, that information becomes available. Currently now, everybody walks their own path and get lost.
But Bundwe, where have you been though? Because my problem is that what you're doing it's so important, it's so key, but you're not out there.
We're not out there because a number of reasons. One, we're in NPC. And NPC doesn't have resources to be everywhere in terms of communication. But this is why we're grateful for the opportunity like this and your commitment to bring us on board and maybe engage more and talk to people out there a bit more. Yes.
Yeah. No. Definitely. I think Mabundwana, after this, we must have a discussion. If I need to help you with your PR and take you out there, because some of the things you don't need to pay for.
Yes.
Do you understand?
Yeah.
So it's not everything that you need to pay for. But I think for me, you're sitting with a platform that you could create right discussions and conversations with people.
Yeah.
And right now, you having reports and within, do you understand? For me, obviously, it's what I do business-wise that got me to be there where I discovered you.
Yeah.
Do you understand?
Yeah.
Other people that don't have that opportunity, what about them?
Definitely.
Do you understand? And they need this the most. Sandy, So we've had this discussion, obviously, that you're sitting here, Nobabu Ndwandwe, do you understand? And you know that it's even worse if you are a black-owned business, and it's even worse that you are not only black, but you are black and female-owned. So when you've got a lot of disadvantages, because not only that you're black, you're female, and not only that you're female, you are in a complicated industry that is being property. So, and I know that you're sitting here in your cap as the leader of, the Women in Property Network, you know. So, but what is your stance on the participation of women in the property industry as a whole?
I can say that currently we're sitting at a very, very awkward and delicate landscape. The transformation report was released just a couple of months ago, as you know, and we have not achieved actually very good results. Yes, the amended codes were also gazetted just late last year. Out of the report, it's very clear that we've got junior managers until actually Jesus comes back. And which is not good because also the highlight at the executive level and voting rights level in terms of women participation, we have a staggering 7%. You're looking at an industry which is estimated to be 6 trillion rand. So if you look market relatively, we are just not doing much in terms of whether it's actually policy driven and implementation.
Okay.
But employment equity, the results were also very devastating.
Mm-hmm.
One area that we seemingly to be doing very well is the CSIs. So literally we have more than enough. So those facts actually, they boil down to also skills development for the fact that we have lots of junior management. That means that we're not investing enough, whether we're incubating actually the junior managers to reach middle level so that we can actually ease off the level of having a high density at the lower level or entry level of the industry.
Yeah, but now on them, let me play the devil's advocate here. Are we really doing enough as far as enterprise development is concerned? So I want you to answer me that, and I want when you're done, ubabundwande, asitshele ukuthi from a point of enterprise development, right now we've got enterprise development suppliers that would take, let's say, would go to five or different corporates, you know, and they would say to these corporates, give us money, we want to impact to double, you know, and they'll come, they'll do this and me, or sometimes they'll give me a fraction of what they're supposed to give me.
Yeah.
Being a fraction of that, and then what they would do is that they will take the same report, go to another enterprise, they could present me to five corporates that they'll put money, you know, for me, all thinking, or they empower me, and they should empower with a fraction of one person's money.
Yeah.
So that's why you find them, they would want to fabricate, they would take businesses or entrepreneurs like me and you that are seem to be doing well with the right profile. We are appealing to the media, we are appealing to wherever, to say, when you say, no, he's part of us or whatsoever, yeah, people will jump, or they'll be seen to be doing something.
My view in terms of skills development and enterprise development, because they speak to each other.
Okay.
Are we doing enough? I think my overview on it, as far as the construction and the property sector, because they speak to each other, even though their sector codes are different.
Mm-hmm.
Property side, we've had incubation programs that have been tried, and it's been a trial and error because it's never been done before.
Mm.
So what the sector doesn't know whether it's going to work or not, obviously, now that we've got the sector results, we're able to draw lessons of what didn't work.
Mm.
There was expenditure, various amounts, very huge figures. However, now we've been able to actually draw strength from actually the ones that have worked. Make an example of one of the sponsors for the Property Awards for Women is Property Point, which is Growth Point.
They're doing amazing work.
Come on board is actually, I mean, they've got 1 billion that they've spent on actually small businesses. Very exciting stories we've got throughout the country. I think about 720 are sent to be corrected, but the amount of work that they're doing now, I mean, yesterday I was with them and they're looking at actually throughout the country about 60 more contractors.
Mm. You're working with Sean?
Sean and Hannes, the entire team.
Yeah.
So literally there's actually various pockets. So people are starting to actually find the programs that are tailor-made for the ills and actually the vast challenges that we have throughout the sector.
Mm-hmm.
But as you know, the sector is quite diverse.
Okay.
So literally, it's difficult to have an incubation or an enterprise development program that speaks to everyone.
Okay.
You've got consultants, quantity surveyors, architects, and engineers. And then you've got supply chain of the guys that service shopping centers that do the billing process and actually cleaning of, you know, those services are actually not acute to our level because of actually we are on the development side, and then there's the property management side.
Mm.
And then you've got the asset management side. So literally all of those actually don't speak to each other.
They don't.
And then you've got another one which is actually sector related, which you have residential. You can't actually just incubate someone who's actually looking for skills to manage a block of flats and take them to manage actually a shopping center, because even though it's cleaning and everything, but you're dealing with tenants. True. And retail is very fluid.
And it's tenant installation based and stuff.
So lack of a better word, but the devil is in the detail. And as industry leaders, we have to actually start working with other organizations that have the models or actually the systems to actually plug in the information that will actually drive and become a catalyst.
That's where Ubabundwande comes in. But again, maybe quickly before Ubabundwande answers, who does that transformation report?
The transformation report is done by, it's driven by the Property Sector Charter Council.
Okay.
Led by Sis Portia, as you know. And I also sit on that board representing the women in the sector. And we're driving currently now 30% set aside for women. Otherwise, we're going to be sitting with women that are actually, or the results will always come out as if it's supposed to be a bonus point. But if actually there's a policy or a quota that drives that, then we are always going to have a woman who is celebrated that, oh, we've got a woman. And yet, if it's actually a quota, then it has to be implemented.
Okay.
So the sector code, the report is done by a board, and there's a research committee that actually goes through. It's actually represented by all professionals.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Okay, Mabundwan.
Yes. What's the question?
The question was. What was the question? Usendi has taken me otherwise. Mm. So the question is to say right now we've got an entity can present 5 reports of the same person to 5 different companies. Do you understand? So and piggyback from different training. It's like they're manipulating the system. So, and right now, my problem as well is that some of these entities that want to come to the media, we've released whatever report and this and that, but that's a self-report. I'm not going to report that I'm bad.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you I'm not going to report that or whatsoever. How independent is independent?
Yeah, I think that's one of the critical factors that I think we have to address. And when we say Cutters for Growth, for example, is promoting transparency, that's one of the issues that we think needs to be addressed. Mm. When we offer our platform, our M&A platform, we actually offer it as an independent platform.
Okay.
Because even though the data may be collected by the provider and loaded onto the system, we actually look at the data and verify the data. We call the SMME and say, Sandy, is that you? Is that your ID number? Is that your business? Is this your turnover? Are you working with corporate XYZ? Is this your business? So we verify that.
Okay.
So for us, when the report then is produced, either by the partner, which is the business provider, when they produce our report, it is actually a third-party verified report.
Yeah.
And I think that is important. Another issue that you mentioned was the SMMEs or black business people that probably would hope from one program to another, which is very prevalent in the market.
Yeah.
And it's reflective, I think, of the problems that we have in the market. And then you have them now potentially being reflected in various programs as success stories. Our platform actually is able to capture that as well, because we need to see who has benefited from what program, and if someone has moved from this program to the other, we need to be able to capture that information. So we do verify the data to avoid a situation where somebody claims a success that doesn't quite belong to them.
Okay. So then in the verification, in terms of that data, can you give us some of the overview in terms of some of the key highlights and findings in the CIS report?
Yes, I can just highlight maybe one or two highlights in terms of our the findings in this report. Obviously, one of the things that we look for is things that we think are a bit counterintuitive, things that we didn't quite expect the data to tell us.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that is actually quite interesting, you've already mentioned the statistic, for example, that 22% of our clients whose businesses were discontinued was because they found another job. That is interesting.
Mm.
Another interesting statistic that came out of this is that we found that talking about the quality of the BDS, of the services that are given to entrepreneurs, and the type of businesses, of services that are given to entrepreneurs, one of the most critical services that entrepreneurs valued quite greatly is the support towards accessing funding, which is a big problem. Accessing funding is a big cry for most entrepreneurs in the ecosystem. They valued quite highly, among all the services that they're getting, the support that they get to actually access funding, facilitation, basically make them investment ready. That is one of the key findings, one of the key things. But in addition to that, they were saying, even though this is the top need we have, it is the one need that we get least of.
Sandy, is it the same problem with women as well? I would think people would fly to give women money. You know, and we want to take you guys for lunch and I'm thinking business would jump to give you guys money.
I guess the commercial landscape is completely different.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So, but I think in terms of women accessing funding is the same to all the entrepreneurs, SMMEs. Yeah. So it's not peculiar to a certain class of actually or gender based this biasness.
Mm-hmm.
However, recently we had a discussion with some of the financial institutions and the ones that are not your conventional funders.
Okay.
And there are a lot of platforms which we also didn't know about as leaders of the industry. And you have institutions that are trying to find Sandy and then Sandy is also actually trying to find them. So there's also a mismatch.
Yeah.
If I can share, I'm not doing PR for them, but I think it might be beneficial for the listeners and for other people as well that I've shared on various platforms in the industry. There's an institution called FinFind. I think also there are other institutions that have the similar business case.
Mm-hmm.
What they do is it's similar to some of the websites that you will have when you're looking for a car that you will say that whether it's new or actually used, and then it starts synchronizing, and then the manufacturers that you want. And the more you become precise with actually the kind of product that you're looking for, then you'll have only four or five that deal with the kind of product, yes, the kind of product that they've got probably more than 255 funders,
mm-hmm.
International. So they are very competitive in terms of actually interest rate as well.
Okay.
So I guess also that doesn't become a challenge for someone who's looking for funding, especially when you don't have equity.
Mm-hmm.
So balance sheet when you don't have. So literally the borrowing rate doesn't become a factor. I think it's a matter of finding the model that works for someone to actually penetrate the market and be a player. And I think that is one stumbling block for people just to get inside the door and be part of actually the value chain.
I mean, that's an opportunity, one, where you've said people can actually go finfind.co.za. I know I've actually tried it. But now what are some of other opportunities that has a Women Property Network identified though in the industry?
There are various platforms that we have. If I can share just a little bit about what WPN is all about.
Okay.
Yes, as you've actually introduced, it's actually an engine for women in the industry, property specifically. But essentially, we've got regional chapters, which is your Gauteng with our highest base, and Western Cape and KZN. And we've just recently launched in the Eastern Cape. And we've also launched student chapters that are doing so well. Vets University, UCT, UKZN,
nice. How many members do you have in total?
Collectively, we've got 900.
Oh, nice.
Actually, we've doubled the numbers in the last 2 years.
Okay.
So, in terms of...
And when I ask the president, you are responsible for all 900?
Yes, of course. And okay. They all matter. And each and every case matters to me.
Okay.
Because... for various reasons. So I'll take you with actually the student chapter.
Mm-hmm.
The student chapter, the reason for us to respond to launching or actually having presence in the university,
okay,
is to actually bridge the gap between the tertiary institutions or their livelihood actually at that kind of environment and also business.
Okay.
So we're trying to close the gap where students just now, I think the rapid increase of graduates that are not employed is not actually fun at all, especially for black students, because you can imagine you actually try so hard to find funding to actually finish your degree.
Mm-hmm.
And the last thing that I ever thought when I was doing my junior degree that I would be sitting at home, because you look forward to the last day when you pass so that you can join the market and change the landscape of your home or become the pride of your family.
Mm-hmm.
So when you find that has actually diminished, because literally by virtue of having a graduate who's going to sit at home, it's like they were doing it for a hobby, but it's got a very huge liability, which is actually the money that has to be paid back. So WPN does have that engine to ensure that our students reach out to a lot of organizations. Some of the corporates that we have as members, they have their graduate programs. And some of the time they tell us that actually we've been only able to reach up to 60% of intake, and we still have another 38. And with the pool of actually the students that are our members now, mm-hmm. we're able to push their applications through to say that there's no way that you could have a 62% intake and there's still actually for graduate training. Okay. So there's a disparity of actually closing those gaps. There are great platforms there, mm-hmm. but are we helping organizations to actually meet or fulfill their goals?
Hmm. So that's a good question.
That is one part. Then there's actually the working class.
Hmm.
Once we actually absorb these graduates or call them professionals in the sector, so you've got the executive women or actually middle level, they're trying so hard to get to executives.
Hmm.
They say that the boardroom is actually full of men, nine. I've been in that position where I was actually a shareholder and a director of a company, one of the leading quantity surveying firms. And I was the only woman for 5 years until I went to start my own spaza shop. But I felt like I was not a miracle in South Africa.
Mm.
There were a lot of Sandys throughout the country. Mm. So what we've done is the industry keeps on saying that, yes, you've got the technical expertise, but you don't have experience in actually fiduciary duties and actually just board corporate governance.
Mm.
So that actually doesn't, you don't end it in university.
And then you don't, eh?
You don't at all. So we've actually formed an alliance with a club called 30%,
mm.
which is actually an organization that seeks to increase the number of women at executive level throughout all industries. And they've got MOUs with listed companies
mm-hmm.
from the commercial side, attorneys, property mm-hmm. industry, and there's also exchange of actually skills.
Mm. Let's have them on the show. Bring them. Let's hear more about what yes. do they do, because I think more women need to hear about them.
Mm. So what we've done is one of the programs that we have done now is with the collaboration with the Institute of Directors. I've also been actually a candidate or a student at their institution, where you actually learn how to be a director,
mm.
which is a director's lifestyle program.
Okay.
So you can have your technical expertise, which you learn from varsity and throughout being in the industry.
Mm-hmm.
But when you get to executive level, the dimensions change.
True.
And the expectations, you become a rainmaker, you've got quite a lot of other responsibilities that you just transitionally and meticulously you have to unfortunately step up to the ladder,
mm.
you know. So those things don't happen overnight, and there are not too many people to mentor people or groom, whether you at management level to get to executive level. Mm. There's very few mentors in the country, we know that. So those are the kind of interventions that we have at Women's Property Network, and obviously your property point, their engagement. And continuing to knock at every door.
Mm.
And the response, I have to say, has been great, but it's very slow. And also one primary driver that we have is the Educational Trust. We've just awarded 29 students throughout the country in excess of 1.5 million rand.
Oh, nice.
And none of our graduates have ever actually not been absorbed by the market. We ensure that when they actually leave the varsity, they don't have to pay back. I've had 5 years of paying back my fees. So basically, we raise the funds to ensure that they get access to the education, but they don't have any liability to pay WPN back. All they have is actually a grand start.
So what age group are you looking at?
Any student who actually who's got a matric. We're not biased by age.
Mm.
Matric, and who's currently doing first year in any university that is accredited by one of the professional bodies, which is a property related study, whether it's a degree or diploma.
Mm.
We unbiased to that.
Okay, no, we like that. So I'm actually angry listening to you talk, Sandy, Because you were supposed to be on the panel discussion I was supposed to be having at SABIP, at the SABIP conference with the woman.
And you know exactly what happened. You can't be angry, actually, just like you said. You know the logistics that actually happened on that on that panel. Yeah.
But good thing is that I'm going to be having those women. I'm going to be having Ipiling, Aus Poshia, and I'm going to be having Nonko in studio. I'm going to bring you back and let's have a discussion in studio.
Thank you.
For that, yeah. So, and what are some of your predictions or expected future trends? You know, you heard Sandy has been flossing. Right? This is what we've been doing. This is where we're going. This is what is coming. And your side?
If at all, we don't predict the curves of growth. We use data to predict. And I don't have the data to tell you tomorrow what tomorrow's weather is going to look like. But I can tell you that there'll be, with Sandy... and the leadership that is providing, and there are quite a few, not enough, of Sandys out there. And my prediction is that I think we're going to have a real serious rise of women in business in this country.
No, it is.
Because the political landscape, the economic landscape, and I think the legislative landscape is actually pro-women. And especially with the allocation of opportunities that we are saying so much should go to this type of group. But I think it is in the hands of the leaders of the likes of Sandy to actually make that happen. Because I think that this country is positioned to do that.
Yeah.
But having said that, I think it behoves the rest of us to actually make those opportunities available, because women do start, unfortunately, a couple of rungs lower than men who are in the majority of decision-making in the economy.
Yeah.
And they will be for some time.
Yeah. No, definitely. But on the same note, I think we still need opportunities. I think for both men and women to take advantage of. Like you said, Hore, there's a serious rise of Sandys that are coming into power.
Yes.
And there's only few of the bohos to marry the Sandys. Do you understand? So and society doesn't prepare that. So, but I think it's actually we're living in an exciting age.
It is.
But I mean, what would you say are some of the benefits of SMEs and business development service providers or corporates getting onto the C4G platform?
It's exactly this conversation we're having. How do we set SMEs as a key focus of our NDP? Because our NDP says we want to create 5 million jobs by 2030. And it says 90% of those jobs must come from SMEs.
True.
Now, the question is, what are we doing about it?
Hey. Yeah.
What are we doing about it in each sector, in the economy, and as government? And for me, there is a lot of activity that's happening.
Mm-hmm.
In pockets, it's probably not well coordinated. But the biggest challenge I think that we face as an ecosystem supporting the growth of small business and economy is, how do we measure, what kind of milestone do we set ourselves to actually see if we are making progress towards that vision? And I think this is where the platform, I think anyone who participates in this platform begins to say, by example, I want to begin to measure the impact that I'm having and my contribution to this great vision. And I want to use to also contribute to learning, because the data, when we write the reports and like the one that we launched last Thursday, it becomes an opportunity for us to share these lessons across the ecosystem so that we know what works and what doesn't work.
Mm-hmm.
Not only will we know how we're moving, but also we'll begin to direct those that are making decisions, investment decisions, in the direction of the things that are working and the things and be aware of the things that are not working. This is the value that we think we're contributing to the growth of the role of small businesses and the impact of small business in the economy.
Yeah, I mean, you spoke of how everyone on board needing to participate, and now you just made mention of small business. So, but now my question is, how do small business get on board in terms of being part of C4G? Okay. And being part of the great initiative that you're doing.
Yes, we would like, and this is why I'm excited. I would like to have her card before she leaves.
Please. Otherwise, make that happen.
We would like to actually start working. We've been working historically with BDS providers that are working with SMEs and collecting this data on SMEs via them.
Okay.
But we know there is a lot more entrepreneurs that are actually working independently of these BDS providers, mm-hmm. and especially organized entrepreneurs like Azaro.
Okay.
And how do we get the Azaros of this world into the platform so that they share their own data, mm-hmm. they use this platform, the actual experience, because the platform for her, for example, what it does, if she's collects data on a quarterly basis of the performance of her business over time, she is setting herself up for investment readiness.
That's true.
When an investor comes onto our platform and finds Azaro's performance over the last 3 years and sees how she's been doing, the cost of due diligence is actually
and
the investor, we can make that decision within a week instead of waiting and sending due diligence practitioners to turn her books up and down and find actually that maybe her records have not been great, which is unfortunately the case with most of our entrepreneurs.
And it works to a disadvantage only find other things could actually
exactly.
Yeah.
So basically, for entrepreneurs, would like to work with organized business so that we can get to their members and talk to them and educate them and see the benefit of them actually come onto the platform sharing, and we can develop this platform as well and customize it so that it can serve their interests better, because we continuously improve this platform based on the feedback that we're getting from the users.
Yeah. No, definitely. I think I'll invite you, because we host a platform where we bring in entrepreneurs.
That's great.
On a month-to-month basis. Let's have this conversation and let's get them to ask you questions.
I'll hold you to that.
Thank you. I'm a man of my word. I met you last week. I said I'll bring you here. You're here. Okay. You see what
you're
I mean?
A man of your word or man of God?
Both. So Sandy, quickly, can you give us an overview of the South African Women in Property Awards that is coming up?
Thank you. I thought you forgot about this prestigious event.
No, I can never. I can never.
I call it actually in the calendar of the property, the only party with a purpose. Thank you so much. It definitely is a party with a purpose.
Okay.
So literally we recognizing women who have made strides in their own environments. And we also recognize the companies, the corporates that have supported the women agenda. We have finalists in the three regions, which is Cape Town, Gauteng, and KZN. We've got four categories: the young achiever, who's under 35. We've got entrepreneurs, ranging from areas like East London, Durban, and also some areas of Cape Town. And then we've got actually two other, the private sector, which is the biggest one.
Mm-hmm.
But my favorite one, which I'm very passionate about, is women that are in the public sector.
Nice.
So, the caliber of the CVs that we received this year, in total, we received 91. And we're talking about women that are making really great strides in their own environments, like I said.
Mm-hmm.
So it's on Tuesday, the 23rd, at Inanda Polo Club in Sandton.
Okay.
I'm still
waiting for my invite, by the way.
Okay.
Mine too.
Yeah.
I'll make a plan, even though we sold out. I'll make a plan, okay. Even if I have to stand.
Okay.
So we actually, the event is sold out. We sell the tables for 25,000 rand, which goes to the educational trust that I spoke about earlier. So we've got all those 30 tables. It's our premier sponsor is Airports Company South Africa.
Oh, nice.
And then the contributing sponsors is a very vibrant black entrepreneur called Titimba, who's got a company called Real Black Estate.
I know him.
And and very good friend of mine as well. So he, and also there we've got another hotel group called Singer Group.
Okay.
They're coming on board, and then we have Property Point, who will be actually supporting the Entrepreneur Award. And then we've got a long-time achiever award, a woman who has just done Beyond the Protocol, a humanitarian. I'm really excited about this award because this woman really gives me goosebumps every time we look at actually the challenges as women we've had in the sector. So look out for that. And I'm hoping after the awards, you'll get an opportunity to interview some of these great women.
It would be nice. Let's make it happen.
They really, I mean, if I can share with you the finalists, we've got public sector. I mean, Tara Ngubeni, who's actually the CEO of PRASA, who's done amazing things in a very, very volatile environment.
Nice.
And we've got Khasela Keza from actually the city of Cape Town, who is managing the infrastructure of Cape Town. And then we've got Zakim Kize, who's coming from the Durban municipality. These women, when you actually read what they've been able to achieve and the challenges.
Who are the women from small business there? Give me small business as well. You cannot give me big names and not give me small business.
I guess by virtue of actually being very passionate about the public sector, I had to give you my favorite one. Okay. Entrepreneur, we've got Sibongile Boy, who's actually an owner of a trend in the property sector that's growing, which is called the virtual offices.
Oh, yes.
And fully furnished suites. Mm. She's running on her own, not out of a franchise. She actually started from scratch. It's based in East London.
Mm.
And with the very high ROIs, which is something that even the biggest organizations, they're battling with. And then we've got Karuni Naidu, who is she runs an architectural practice in Durban.
Mm-hmm.
And we've got Marloes Reneng, who also runs a solid green consulting firm.
So then for people that want to see more about the awards and more about WPN, where can they go?
We've got our website, which is www.wpn.co.za. And on social media, we're on LinkedIn, Women's Property Network, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. I think so, yes, all of those. I mean, we've got an event coming up in the next week or so after the gala dinner, which is high performance cars. So it's amazing that even though we're women in the sector, the retail side has done a research that with the women that are actually starting to take ownership of their spaces, big girls with big machines.
Cars. And you had to drop that when the show ends, né? And you just had to...
I saw the big car outside.
Oh, is it? Yeah, no.
No,
she's driving the sports car.
Okay. And
yeah, the big car is mine. She's driving the sports car. So, Babundono, quickly, for people that want to get more or see more of what you do, can they get hold of you?
Please visit our website, www.cartesforgrowth.org. And all the information is there, and we're happy to also entertain any queries that people will have, and we'll be excited to discuss any query.
Definitely.
Yeah.
No, thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
Sandy, thank you. You're amazing like always. And Babunduandu, thanks a lot.
Thank you.
If you've just joined in, you've missed out on an exciting discussion that we have, but you can always go to www.cliffcentral.com, go to podcast to actually get to the show. My name is Deboho Mafodi. Catch me again next time for another exciting show of 360 Biz. I'm out.
360 Biz on cliffcentral.com. This is cliffcentral.com.